This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
My special guest this morning is renowned landscape photographer Ken Duncan. Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for joining me this morning.
My pleasure.
It all started for you when you were quite young, didn't it, with photography? You found your love of photography as a teenager, really.
Yes. Schoolwork wasn't my forte. I found out about cameras. That made a lot more sense to me because you could take a photo and tell your story in a very simple way. So
I read that you were once told by your economics teacher that you were the person most likely to never amount to anything.
Yeah, well, it was funny. When I left school, he said, you'd be the most least likely person to succeed that I've ever met. And I just thought, what a rotten thing to say. And I thought, I'll get him back. And I said, well, as long as I don't become a teacher, I will consider myself a success at whatever I do.
It was probably a gift to you, though. Maybe this actually spurred you on to prove him wrong. After you finished school, did you embrace your love of photography right away?
One thing, yes, I did. But I've got to say one thing. It was actually a teacher who inspired me about photography too. So there are some fantastic teachers out there as well. And, you know, when I left school, I decided that's what I wanted to do. So that's really what this book, Walking in the Light, is all about too. It's telling the stories behind the photos that I took, because when I went on my journey, it was really a journey trying to find a meaning to life. Mm-hmm. And I had my camera with me. So the photos often come out of me searching for something or me meeting people that have created the opportunities. And so people have been after me for a long time to write a lot of the stories behind the pictures. So that's what we finally did, especially women. And they love more to hear the stories and technicality.
Yep, that's
but
true.
But we put the technicality in there for those sort of men who need that sort of stuff. So
yeah, okay. Your work obviously has taken you, you know, all around Australia and around the world. What are some of the people and places that have really impacted on you the most?
Well, you know, a Christian man who is, you know, who probably no one would ever know his name, a guy called Howard Coates, who was a guy who was very instrumental in me becoming a Christian because he lived Christianity. And, you know, that's a pretty long story to tell you now, but basically it was his knowledge of the Bible. Like, I was really anti-Christian, but he would just say, we'd have arguments, and he'd say, well, let's see what the Word says, shall we? And then he knew the Greek, he knew the Hebrew, and so he was quite a scholar. And, man, I just never won an argument with that guy. And he was so gracious, he just loved me. He wasn't dogmatic, but, you know, we'd have some great debates. At one stage, I just had a friend die in my arms, a very pivotal point in my journey where, you know, I didn't believe in the spiritual realm at all, but when I had this man dying in my arms and was trying to resuscitate him, I just felt his spirit leave his body. So to me, that made me realize there was a spiritual realm, and I didn't know about it, and I thought, well, there must be a God. And so at this point, I was going through this whole thing, and I was at a point I'd taken photos after this, and all the photos hadn't worked out. I'd run out of money. And here's this man at 73 saying, Ken, look, I've got some money in the bank. Take that. I don't need it. And look, it was only probably about $500 or $700. But I just thought, here's a man at 73 willing to give me his last money. You'd sort of think he'd need it more than I would. And I just thought it was his faith and his reality as a Christian that inspired me to keep going with the journey and keep photographing. And I didn't take that money, but it was just, I thought, if he's not worried at his age about having nothing, why should I?
So you were brought up as a Christian, though, weren't you? But you had a period where you weren't living that way. So
yes, I was definitely not living. Yes, I wasn't. I had beautiful Christian parents, but they kept praying. So, you know, I was probably a dead duck and I didn't know it. But they kept praying for me, but I had to go the hard way. I just recommend anybody out there who's going through some difficulties or anything like that, God never intended us to walk alone. He wants to walk and talk with us. And he's all around us. And that's why in the stories, as you read through Walking in the Light, it'll inspire you to realize, you know, there's a lot of references to, you know, in a nice way to what God was doing in my life at that time.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask you about in what ways you've seen God kind of watching over your photography career and leading you on the path that you've gone.
He leads me in ways where I had gangrene and I was going to lose my foot. And basically, he miraculously healed my foot. So that's in a very strong area. When I had hypothermia, I called out to God and he miraculously warmed me up. Now, they're pretty serious encounters, but then just in small ways, like God gets my attention, like the front cover in the book is this photograph of dust going through the trees in the Flinders Ranges. And, you know, how it happened, I'm behind a drilling truck, and this drilling truck's in the way, and all this dust coming up, and I'm thinking, I want to get past the drilling truck because I know where I want to go. There's this great place, and I'm so locked in that I was about to pass this truck. Mm. I wouldn't have known where I was going, and it would have been very dangerous. And I thought, what am I doing? I just saw God saying, slow down, Ken, just relax, relax. And so I did that. And then as I relaxed, he started to show me all this dust, what it was doing to the environment around me and the trees. And I thought, wow. And so I stopped and then waited for the vehicles to come past and throw all this dust over the landscape. And it was just this magical time waiting for the shot. And I got this incredible shot out of that. And, that, you know, God often on our journey, if we're so in control, we'll get to go where we want to go, but it won't be necessarily the shot we were really looking for. So
yeah, I imagine as a photographer too, you would have to have a real sensitivity to what's going on around you. And part of that for you is that sensitivity to the spirit, isn't it, to wait.
Yeah, and I had such a good time with him out in the bush. It's like we had some good laughs. And look, people need to talk to God in a real way. Like often, you know, we think we have to be really religious, like, oh, Heavenly Father, wherefore art thou? But, mate, he knows wherefore art where he is. It's just us that's the problem, you know. We just need to lighten up and just begin to allow him to talk to us, and he will. You know, he really loves us.
I'm speaking to one of Australia's best-known landscape photographers, Ken Duncan. Now, Ken, you were also involved in doing the photography for The Passion of the Christ, weren't you?
Oh, well, yes. I've known him since school days, and I recommend that we all need to pray for him. He's still going through stuff, but he's a great guy, and, you know, God's going to use him mightily even more. I think The Passion on the Christ movie, to me, was such an impacting thing. Mm. And, you know, there was so much media saying that it was anti-Jewish or... And there's no way that I'd have anything to do with that in any way, shape or form, or either would he. It was an incredible time. And at the time, I was actually in L.A. and they were going to spend a lot of money trying to tell people that it wasn't anti-Jewish, like $1 million. And he invited me into this meeting because I was in his office playing with his Braveheart sword, like a big idiot. And, so I went into this meeting and they were talking about how they're going to spend all this money. And I'm sitting there thinking, what am I doing here? And then at the end of it, Mel said to me, he said, Ken, what do you think? And I said, I think it's a waste of money. I think you should just get on with the job. It's not anti-Jewish. It's just telling a story. You know, just do it. And the people who were doing the presentation, I don't think were really impressed with my idea. But anyhow, I said, look, anyhow, the fanatical Muslims, if they think it's anti-Jewish, they might come and see it, you know. And he just sort of laughed and I said... And what happened, they decided they weren't going to do anything. And what was interesting about it is, actually, when I went and did a book after that called The Footsteps of Jesus, I was actually up in Lebanon, on the border of Lebanon shooting, because I wanted to photograph where Jesus went into Lebanon, in through to Sidon and Tyre. And there'd been a little bit of a skirmish on up there, on the borders. The Hezbollah had sent rockets into Israel. And anyhow, I'd got there a week after this whole thing, and it was a bit tense, but when you go over there and something like that, hotels are very cheap because no one's there. Anyhow, we're on the border, and as I was photographing, this Hezbollah unit came along with rocket launchers and guns, and they just immediately said, you're an Israeli spy. And I said, hey, mate, with an accent like this, you've got to be kidding. I'm a photographer from Australia. Mm. And they had no sense of humour. They got the guide I was with, they put a machine gun to his face and said, you get out of here. And the next minute I'm sitting there with these people who definitely have no sense of humour, and I'm thinking, God, what do I do? And this is how real God can be, you know. And he said, son, tell them about your internet site. And I'm thinking, are you serious? They've got rocket launchers and guns. And so I thought, here we go. And so I told them. And then all of a sudden the guy looks at me and says, of course you'd have an excuse. You know, we don't have internet, and you'd have an excuse because you're a spy. And I'm thinking, gee, God, this is really working well. And then all of a sudden their commander came through on the radio and said, what are you doing? They said, we've got this spy. And they told him my website, and he went on the website, and he has all these photos of the Passion movie. And he comes through and says, was he the photographer on the Passion movie? And I go, yes. And then he comes through and says, well, he can't be an Israeli spy. We all went and saw the movie. And the next minute, I become their, like, best friend, and I'm getting a group photo of me with a rocket launcher and guns and all this sort of stuff. And then my guide was allowed to come back, and we disappeared real quickly before they changed their mind. But, you know, that's how real God can be on the journey.
I was going to ask you, I guess, you know, part of your art, as well as taking the photos, is also in choosing which photos to feature in a book or in an exhibition. And I was wondering, what do you look for in a photo? What do you see that, and when you know that's one that's going to be a keeper?
Something that has life. Look, I'm an average photographer with a great God. And that's not false humility. It's God gives us gifts every now and then. I'm not saying every one of my photos has that, but sometimes he just gives you their gifts from him. And they speak to people, I believe. You know, he says in Romans 1:20, for ever since the creation of the world, God makes himself visible through his creation, so that all people without excuse. And he doesn't want to make himself visible to bash us up. He wants to make himself visible to show how much he loves and cares for each one of us, you know. And that if he can put all the stars in the heaven and deal with all that, there's nothing he can't deal with in our life if we'll just let go. So what I've tried to do is put in the new book and in this new exhibition these shots that will really touch people's heart to make them let go and realize God can do whatever it is they need to do in their life. And, you know, it's not only what he can do. Every person in this world has a destiny. And, you know, God has a destiny for every person. And he's just hanging out to walk and talk with you so that that destiny can become a reality in every life. Because a lot of people's lives, they're just trapped. They're trapped in their mortgages, they're trapped in their lifestyle, and they're not enabled to do what God wants them to do because they're too scared to let go of what they've got. But I'm telling you, as you look at God and his creation, it inspires you to think, you know, I'm going to follow my dream. I'm going to believe and trust in you, God, to get me there. Mm. So that's the sort of shots I try, just to inspire people gently to follow their dream.
And for people who are listening who might be, you know, real photography enthusiasts, what does it take to become a really great photographer? You know, is like most things, is it a matter of practice, or is there an innate visual gift that you either have or don't have? Or what would your advice be for people who would really like to improve their photography?
Well, look, I can tell them all the technical stuff and all that sort of stuff, but to tell you the truth, the greatest trick to photography or the greatest key to photography is getting to know the creator. If you want to be truly creative, get to know the creator. And I know that sounds funny, but I'm telling you, you know, he makes it all, and for especially what I do, it's humbling yourself and saying, okay, God, show me what I'm meant to be doing. Show me. And, you know, we can often get in control, and when we're in control, we're just doing things that we've done before. But when we're willing to let go, he starts to blow our mind and start to show us new things. And so that's probably the best advice. And also he gives you the faith to believe that you can do anything. Because, you know, the biggest thing that really stops most photographers ever succeeding or people following their dreams is the fear of rejection. And, you know, when you know you're loved by God, that fear of rejection no longer has a hold over you because, you know, God loves you and he'll put up with you, whatever. And there you go. And, you know, often some of the things that God said for me to do are overwhelming. And, you know, right now he's doing stuff like that in my life where he's wanting me to spend more time with the Aboriginals and teaching in the Indigenous areas. And he's sort of, in a way, blowing my mind. I'm thinking, God, I can't do this. But he's saying, son, you can't, but we can. Mm. And that's really the greatest inspiration I can give anybody out there. Because, you know, in the end, when I get up to heaven, God's not going to say, hey, son, loved your photos. He's going to say, what did you do with my son? Because, you know, Jesus brings life to people. He gives people hope. He gives people connection with God. And, you know, that's what it's all about, being connected with God and having the adventure of a lifetime and living life to the max.
Okay, well, I think that's probably a good point to leave it this morning, Ken.
No worries.
Thank you so much for your time. It's photographer Ken Duncan. His new exhibition, Celebration of Light, is on now at his Sydney Gallery, and the new book is called Walking in the Light.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.